looking to blaze the trail and build or expand your business empire? Welcome to She's Building Her Empire, a place of motivation, inspiration, and innovative business strategies to help increase your income and, more importantly, your impact. Follow your purpose while building your empire with your host and business coach, Stacey Tuschel. Hi there, and welcome to She's Building Her Empire. This is episode 160. My name is Stacey Tuschel, and I'm so excited to have you here today because we have Maggie Patterson. Maggie is a communication strategist, and she's a chief marketing officer at Scoop Industries. She's got over 15 years of experience, 11 of which was she's been self-employed as a consultant. And Maggie has spent her career working in client-facing roles in marketing and as a copywriter. So I'm really excited to kind of dive into what she's doing. She's the host of the Inside Scoop podcast, a master level content marketer as awarded by Copyblogger, and her work's been all over the place, virgin.com, fastcompany.com. So Maggie, welcome to the show. So happy to have you here today.
I'm super excited to be here to talk to you and your audience, Stacey.
Yes, me too. So let's dive in a little bit, but I love to kind of backtrack and just kind of fill us in. How did you get here? What's your story?
So I was one of those really annoying entrepreneurial kids, always wanted to have a business, started my first business at like age 8, was wagon rides around the block. It didn't last very long. There were some safety issues. But, you know, when I started, you know, my entire childhood, I knew I wanted a business, but I was always the type of kid who read a lot and I wanted to write. So as I got into college and beyond, I landed in a career which was in PR, which I chose specifically because there was a lot of writing. And I also knew if I went and worked in a PR agency, that I'd be well set up for the type of career I wanted working for myself. I was hardwired that way. And it's kind of funny, I've had people ask me about that. I grew up with a lot of people who were self-employed in really non-traditional roles around me. So I didn't have those kind of normal career expectations. I was like, of course I'll start my own business. Right, there was never really a question. So, you know, I did what I was supposed to do. I worked in corporate for 6 or 7 years. And then I was like, you know what? I had my first baby. And I was like, my first and only baby, I should say. Okay. And I was kind of like, you know what? I'm not going back. And I literally quit my job on my maternity leave and started my own business.
I love how many moms I know that quit on maternity leave. It's like the best deadline to go, I've got to make this happen.
Well, I was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to travel all the time. My husband works shift work. I'm like, who's watching this baby?
Oh, that's so funny. I love it. And you know, I am the same situation as you. So my grandfather started a company and it's over 45 years old. So I feel like that's a huge advantage when you're with a family who it's not out of the usual to start a business. They're very supportive. They kind of get it. They, you know, it's not like a lot of others who are going, should you be doing that? Is that the smart choice? Is that the safe choice to be making? So I love that that's part of your story because it is definitely a huge advantage coming into this.
Yeah, no one's ever questioned. Like when I was like, I'm going to quit my job, everyone's like, okay.
Yeah, right. It's completely normal.
Exactly.
So I want to know, like, what's your sweet spot now? What are you doing? Let's talk about what your business looks like today.
So I co-own a marketing agency called Scoop Industries. I'm actually based in Canada. My partner's based in the US. How's that?
Oh, okay.
But you know, we met, it was a business match and we're like, okay, we'll make it work.
Yeah.
And we work mainly with service-based business owners. Okay. So people who work with clients, and we work with them in two ways. We help them in the back end when they start to grow, you know, they're that multi six figure point and they're like, I don't have time to figure out this funnel or implement it. And they really need smart marketing strategies. So we work with those types of clients hands-on. And then we also work with business owners at an earlier stage in their business, really mentoring them on the steps they need to take to be able to scale their business in a way that's really smart and doesn't kill them in the process. Like it's so easy to just keep doing more and more and more. And I'm always like, with clients, I'm like, do less, total 80-20 rule. So I'm like, the only thing I want you to focus on is finding and booking clients and servicing those clients. Just do that and you'll be great.
Right, right. And I think it's our natural instincts to just go, well, I'm not making enough, so I need to do more. I need to add more to my plate. And all of a sudden it snowballs and we have so much.
Yeah.
And it's really, like you said, you got to do less. You got to get back to the basics. So that's really, really important. So you just said a really great phrase. What should we be focusing on? Let's repeat that.
Finding, booking, and servicing our clients.
All right. Amazing.
Yeah, so many times people come and they go, you know what? I need a course. And I'm like, how many clients do you have? Are you full? No. Get booked out. Right. Do that now.
So, okay, so what should we be doing? What's the first step? How do we find them? Where are they? Where should we be looking?
Obviously going to depend on the type of business. There's really two parts to this.
Okay.
And the thing I see so many people overlooking is the fact that you have work. Every single one of us has a network. And when we start a business, we tend to do this. We start a business and we go, you don't tell anyone. And I look at my experience. I told everyone. It was full within 2 months. I was told out. And, you know, what worked 12 years ago didn't change. What has changed is we have an expectation of, we need to make it way more complicated and all over the place trying to find them. So I always tell people, sit down, make a list of everyone. This could be your kids' friends, parents. They could be you used to work with. Any speak to your work, old coworkers. This, you know, really structure. One of my first clients came from a college professor. He was talking to someone. He knew I'd started my own, and he recommended them. And that's really how your first clients are going to come. Really focusing on a really basic strategy of who's happy to introduce me to people, who is happy to refer me to people. And from there, you know, once you've kind of exhausted, start looking at as platforms. Like, where are people already? So are they in someone's group? Are they listening to a specific podcast? Are they in your local media? Sometimes we want to create this huge empire right away. Mm-hmm. Until you have clients, you're creating extra stress and taking resources from bringing money into the business.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And I think a lot of people too get a little nervous when they start business, and it's like, but who am I to have this business? I don't want anybody to know, but you want clients and you have to start spreading your message so others spread too. So I think that's a really, really great way to dive into it. And another thing I always tell people is, you know, talk to some people and do some things for free, maybe just for an honest review back. That's all you really need to get started and start building that relationship and start earning some clients.
Yeah, I love that advice, because if you are making a mid-career switch, you don't have a lot of experience, do some things for free. I mean, there was definitely times that projects early on, and I was like, you know, I really want to get some here, so I'm going to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't be afraid to put it out there. I love how Maggie is saying, reach out. And it's not just about who you know, but it's about who you know and who do they know, right? So really be looking at who is your network and how do we grow that? How do we expand it? So great. So Maggie, I want to ask you, as you are building your brand, or maybe this is something you can talk about with some of your clients, what are some of the biggest obstacles when trying to, you're in the right area, you're telling everybody, you're spreading the word, but how do we actually seal the deal? How do we close and book these clients?
So one of the biggest things I see, and this is, it's so easy, is we don't value the service, what comes easily to us. Yeah. So when we're creating a package or something, we underprice it, we don't position it properly, or we don't create a package at all. When someone comes to us, we don't know what we're selling. It's really hard to have a sales conversation and feel confident and really own it when you don't know exactly what you're selling. So, you know, if you don't have them, you absolutely need packages, and you need really clear, easy to understand pricing. If you're in a sales conversation, someone should be able to understand it under 5 minutes, what you can do for them, why they need to hire you, and how much it's going to cost.
Yeah. And I think sometimes we have all these packages and we're not really clear on like what makes them different and which one do you really need. And you've got to be careful that you don't over deliver and confuse your people. So is there a maximum number of offerings you would suggest that we have and offer our clients?
I love this question. So what I always tell people is have 3 packages.
Okay.
Yeah, 3. This doesn't mean you can't do any other services.
Right.
What it means is you're not putting them all on your website, because use mine doesn't buy. And you know, if you're like, oh, it could be option A or option B. So having 3 solid things at different price points so you can serve your market. You know, maybe you have a $400 package, a $1,000 package, and then a $5,000 package. Really think about how you can stack those, because you're probably going to sell the most of that middle package.
Okay. Right. And I love how you're talking about pricing too. They shouldn't all be in the same category, and they shouldn't be so close together that there's not that big jump. And it's one of those things too, where people will say, you know, $397, it's kind of the same as $497. There's not much difference there.
Yeah.
So I like that you're saying you've got to jump a little bit. There should be that jump before the next package hits. Perfect. Now, how do you feel about 2 packages? Because I do see some people just offering like it's this or the VIP upgrade. What do you think about that?
I think that's fine. I think especially for something like coaching.
Okay.
A lot of sense. Or, you know, a website designer or something else. I think it's more complicated if you're something, let's say you do tech implementation or you're a copywriter. real estate. Like, you're not going to, you know, you've only got so many,
okay,
so many things you can put into a package.
Got it. Okay, great. I love it. Well, and I'm going to agree with you. I think 2 to 3 is great. I think if you're just doing one, you've got to find a way to upsell something. And more than 3, it's just confusing. And like you said, a confused mind doesn't buy. They need clarity and they need to know they actually need your product. So super, I love this. This is such a great topic. So, okay, when we're looking at pricing, packaging, all of that, everybody wants to undercharge. You know, I rarely see people charging too much, that they're coming in this and they're undercharging. So how do you decide on pricing and packaging? Where are some tips, or where should we be modeling or looking at what we should be charging? Because I think too low can be very risky too. So we have to be careful.
Yeah. Pricing tells a story. So if your price is really rock bottom, what it says to your prospect is, I'm not really good at this and I'm not really confident.
Yeah. So you're new, right? You're a newbie. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I think if you're just starting out, it's okay to have lower pricing, but have a plan for how you're going to stair step that pricing. So maybe you're going to start off with something that's $99, but you know, within 6 months, I want it to be $1,000.
Okay.
Have a plan to increase the price. Because if your pricing strategy is to come into the market and undercut everyone, you're going to end up with nightmare clients.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And you know, I've done things too where I've done beta programs and they get a cheaper price point than the new people coming in. And I'm telling you, every time I do that, the first people, the founding people, they always expect way more at the cheaper price point than the new people coming in that are paying double. Like, they're thinking this program's amazing, it's so incredible. And the people who are paying half the price are going, is there any way you could add this in there or do this? So I agree, you're attracting certain people to you with that price point. So be very, very careful.
And it's much easier to serve 4 clients at a much higher price point than it is to serve 16 at a much lower price point. And one thing I've really noticed over the years in my business is, as my pricing has increased, the quality of my clients has increased, and my level of, I always call it the stress to dollar ratio, has gone down. I don't have clients.
I love that.
When someone's giving you their last $1,000 and expects you to fix their whole business, that's a lot of stress for everyone involved.
I love that. Stress to dollar ratio. That is definitely something that you need to be thinking about. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's just, you're right. The higher level of clients you're going to continue to get as you raise those price points. So it's super, super important. Now, I want to ask you about really being a high performer and kind of moving into this other level. Do you have some tips that you are doing in your business specifically when it comes to system strategy, whether it's some like a scheduling tool or anything like that? What are your favorite go-to resources?
So number one go-to resource is literally to cut your to-do list in half. This is, of a services business owner, when you work with clients, your business is different. You can't do all the things because you've got probably 75% of your time already committed. So, you know, cut some things off your list. Maybe you don't need to email your list every single week. I know that's sacrilege, but maybe it's every other week. Really looking at, where do my clients come from?
Yeah.
How do I use them? And what do I need to grow? And also too, just looking, even if you're a solo show, looking at the back end, like you said, those systems, what are those repeatable processes? So one I'm always talking about is onboarding.
Okay.
When someone has purchased from you, have a clear plan for the next 30 to 60 days of what's gonna happen. Because the last thing you want is a brand new client to have buyer's remorse when they've given you money. Because that's when they start talking to their friends. And that stuff spreads like wildfire, whether you are local or online. You know, one bad thing about you, he told 2 friends and she told 2 friends. You don't want that. So really focusing on things like your onboarding, invoicing, payment systems, you know, things that make working with you easy. You want your client to really feel stable and secure working with you. And you never want them to think, what about this?
Yes. Yeah. And you know, the buyer's remorse is definitely real. And I think some people will get it no matter what, just because they're kind of going, should I have done that? Should I have not? You can't give them any reason to agree with themselves that they shouldn't have bought from you. So I agree. You've got to be very, very careful. And I think sometimes, especially in the online space, and not even the online space, any type of industry, we're so focused on getting the new people, the people that aren't paying. And the people that are paying, we're neglecting. So you have to be very careful that you don't have these paying customers who are just going to start leaving because you're not actually paying attention to them. So be very, very careful.
Yeah. And that's where, like, if you have ongoing clients, your regular communication, like have a system that you check in, you know, if you don't work for them every single day, what are those touch points you need over the month? Get on the phone with them. Don't hide out behind your computer, because people work with you because they like you.
Yeah.
And they trust you. So you need to have that continual connection. And even just remembering things like, hey, what's happening with this? Even if it's not directly related to you, shows that you actually care about their business. And I can't even tell you how rare that is.
Mm-hmm.
Really simple things make a huge difference when it comes to that client experience.
Yeah. I mean, even things like we shout out our people and say, happy birthday. And they're like, that was so nice. How did you even know my birthday? Well, first of all, Facebook tells you everything. And it's just like, it's something so easy on our part to look you up, find out your birthday, and then be able to put it in our calendar and shout you out on that day. So little things like that, that we can very easily automate and schedule and have somebody just kind of make that a system. It's that little touch for sure.
Absolutely.
So now let's talk a little bit more about the servicing part, that great customer service. Do you have any tips for how do we go above and beyond? What are some ways that we can, you know, really stand out compared to our competitors?
So one of the things, it's kind of an interesting thing, is a lot of times we talk about boundaries with our clients. And I think boundaries are amazing. And they're really, really important. But on the flip side, being willing to jump in when they really need you,
yeah. You
know, jumping into a sticky situation, as long as the person is not constantly abusing those things, you know, being able to go above and beyond really does stand out. And that will breed the kind of loyalty that means you have clients for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, that you have clients who stay with you because they value that you're not just looking at them as dollars in your bank account. Mm-hmm. You're looking at them as how can I contribute meaningfully to their business? And that is such a small thing, but being able to say yes when they say, hey, you know what, can you fit this in? And maybe it's going to make you a little uncomfortable for that half an hour you're working on it, but actually doing it, because so many times service providers take that hard line. And I've had it done to me, and it doesn't feel great.
No, I know. And you're going, I've spent how much money and how much, like, why? Really, you don't have 5 minutes to answer this or do that. So yeah, I agree. So I do think you have to have those clear boundaries. But as long as you're explaining and setting that expectation of, listen, normally I don't do this, and this wouldn't be something we could do on a regular basis, but this one time, I feel like you really do need this, and I want to help you. So yeah, let's jump on the phone together really quickly. Or here's what I would do. Or I've been on your website, and you've got a video recording. It doesn't even have to be this live personal thing. It's just get in there and see what you can do and figure out how you can help. It might even be your team is stepping in to kind of help them and give them some guidelines or guidance. So I think that is really, really incredible that you can't always stick to the policies, right? Policies are great to have, but nobody wants to be told, well, it was signed, it was in your contract that you signed. So, you know, you can't talk in great customer service.
That doesn't make anyone happy. And I think a lot of people, like you said, are not willing to hop on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, it is so much easier sometimes to hop on Skype and hash something out for 5 minutes than to have 47 messages in our project management system. And no one knows what's going on. Yeah. We're just like, everyone get on the phone now. Here's the Zoom link. Go.
Same thing. It's like email back and forth. There's only so many emails back and forth before I'm like, let's get on the phone. I don't even understand what we're talking about here. And you're right, 5 minutes and it could be done. So I love that. I love the going above and beyond, but still having these clear boundaries of what should I be doing? What should I? Because some of you may be so busy, you can't jump on the phone. You don't have that time. But what's another way that you can still go and show your customers that you really, truly care? Because that's what they want. They know I can trust you, but they want to feel that relationship, you know, is coming back to them as well.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times we worry about, like, if we have a creative idea or a suggestion or something that we know we're learning, like, we're going to step on their toes. I think it's always better to, you know, I did a video on a client showing her how to put, like, caption files in Facebook last week. That is not what I was hired to do. But I was like, I know this is going to be painful for her. This is going to take me 5 minutes to show her. And she's like, thank you so much. Such a small thing, super easy, but provides so much value to let her know I'm really thinking about her and her business.
Love that. Okay, great. Thank you so much. So I want to kind of give our listeners I always ask this question. I like to have them get a kind of glimpse in your background of what your team looks like. You're building an empire, and I want to kind of see, you have a co-owner, so that's definitely something different I don't think we've had on the show. So explain that your team, your outsourcing, people that you have that you are working with.
Our team is fascinating.
Okay.
So there's me. I'm the chief marketing officer, because we don't really know what to call me, to be honest. We're kind of like creative. Okay. She like does the things over here. She writes the stuff and does strategy. And then my business partner, Brittany, she is our CEO, because she's definitely like the money operations person.
Yeah.
Then we also have 2 full-time employees. So that's definitely an area that most people don't boldly go, but apparently we just don't do that. I love having employees. It's been really, really fantastic. So we have an employee on the tech side, then we have an employee on the content and creative side, and that actually is my sister, which has been super because she also has a marketing background, go figure. Yep. And then we also have some contractors. So we have, you know, people who are handling our inbox. We have some specific tech contractors, like for development, design, that type of thing.
Great. Yeah. And it's so interesting to hear too, like full-time, part-time, out. So I think that's great to kind of dive in and give people just a little glimpse of what it really looks like, because you have way too much to be doing on your own. There's just no way, even if it was just you and your co-owner, you really have to make sure that you've got all these little pieces in place and that you're not dropping the ball somewhere. So this is great.
Yeah, we could, to be honest, we could never do client work and set strategy and be present for our clients and do our own marketing and sales and work with our mentoring clients. Like no.
Yeah, there's just no way. Yeah. All right. Great. I love it. So I want to ask you, what do you enjoy most about being an entrepreneur?
Ooh, that's such a good question. You know, ultimately for me, it's flexibility. Everyone says the same thing. I know. But for me, it's being my own boss and being able to control my time and pick and choose what I work on. I know I worked in agency and sometimes I'd be like, I'm not so keen about this client.
Yeah.
And our partner would be like, I love you, Maggie, but we need this revenue to do payroll. I'm like, okay.
Right, right. You don't have an option. Absolutely. What's the most challenging part for you as an entrepreneur?
I mean, to be honest, I'm not really a math and money kind of person.
Okay.
I can manage that stuff, but that's why I always joke that's why I have a business partner. When people
that's perfect. Complimenting yourself. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the only way partnerships work. You have to truly have this complementary duo that can, you know, be that kind of yin to yang type situation. And that's what it sounds like you guys have. So that's great. I love it.
I think the interesting thing about having a partner too is, you know, I had a lot of questions from outside my business life. People didn't know. They're like, what's going on here? Is this a good idea? But I mean, we were really good friends. We had worked on a lot of clients first. Like, we had a long history together before we decided, hey, we're going to hang out our shingle and like merge our money, because we've had to have some pretty interesting discussions about money. You know, it's not just me anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. How long have you guys been doing it together?
We are in month 13.
Okay.
So it's, you know, relatively new in the scheme.
And they say like the first year of marriage is the hardest. I'm sure it's the same thing for partnerships in business.
Well, you know what is super interesting about this? And this is what I would say to anyone who's considering a partnership. We both had successful businesses individually. So we thought 1 + 1 = 2. And it didn't really work out that way because there was so much we had to do, even though we'd done a ton. Once we were really together, like there was just so much talking and so much time spent in person and all this extra things that you just wouldn't have otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So before we go, I would love for you to share just one last piece of advice. And then I want to know, where can we find more about you? Where should our listeners go to check you out?
So my last piece of advice is, if you are struggling and you're not hitting your revenue goals, mm-hmm. focus on finding clients. All the other pretty shiny things of the online marketing world are wonderful, but find clients so that you have money coming in, because then you can make much better decisions and you're not stressed out. And where you can find me, I am the co-host of the Services Sales Success Show, formerly the Inside Scoop podcast.
Okay.
And you can also find me at scoopindustries.com.
Perfect. Well, Maggie, thank you so much for being here. This was so great. And thanks for sharing your expertise with us today.
Thank you so much, Stacey.
And before you go, I want to thank one of our sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible is my go-to audio book of choice, and I listen to my Audible app every single day. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to check out their service. To download your free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/herempire. Again, that's audibletrial.com/herempire for your free trial today.
We appreciate you joining us for this episode of She's Building Her Empire. Be sure to join the free Facebook community at she'sbuildingherempire.club. For more free content, videos, and rock-solid business advice to build your purposeful business and take it to the next level, please visit she'sbuildingherempire.com. We look forward to helping you build your empire, create an everlasting impact, and live the life of your dreams. Until next time.